God's will for your life. One of the saddest things that I think that can be experienced in life, one of them, is living your whole life without knowing what God's will is for your life. And I say it so often, but you are not the product of just your parents' passion. You are the product of God's purpose for your life, and many people never discover that. So they work in jobs that where they just take up space and breathe oxygen and hate every day of their life and just take up space and just live. Just live, exist to pay their bills. Life is much more than that. Life is much more than that. And so we've been talking about just walking in God's will for your life and how to do it, how to find, fulfill, and follow God's will for your life. And so we're on part three. And let me show you this passage first of all, because I'm in a little bit deep in it now. We're in third week. But look at this verse. Who's back there back in? Is that, who's back there with me so I can? There's B. Thank you, baby. There's my daughter back there. Praise the Lord. Hey, Brooke, put up there for me Ephesians 5 first. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Just so they, so that we can show you how important it is. Ephesians 5, if you would. Ephesians 5. Not in my notes. Back there, B, you remember. Ephesians 5, verse 15. And I'm going to read it in the NIV. NIV. Everybody say Ephesians 5. Yeah, I'm going to get to 2 Corinthians 5. That's in my notes. But I want to show y'all Ephesians 5, how important it is for you to understand the will of God for your life and what the Bible says about it. Over and over throughout the epistles, Paul talks about it. But in Ephesians 5, take a look at this verse, and I'll just read it if they don't get it up there. Praise the Lord. It is up there. Make some noise for him back in the back. And we'll put it in the chapter. There it is. And put it in the NIV. NIV. NLT is good. I like all these modern translations, but NIV is the one. Yes, yes. Make some more noise for him in the back. Encourage him. Okay, y'all aren't encouraging enough right now. I can tell y'all. All right. That's all right. I'm going to work with you. All right, look what the Bible says right here. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus and also to the church of all of us, right? Church of Jesus Christ. He says, be very careful then how you live. Tell the person sitting next to you, say, be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. I could preach right there for the next 3 hours. Come Sunday, I'll take 6 hours to do it. Just kidding. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what? What the Lord's will is. He says, don't be foolish. Be wise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Look what he says here. He says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is a part of understanding what the will of God is. He says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. One translation says, be drunk with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, sing and make melody, music from your heart to the Lord. Another sign of walking in the will of God. Joy in your heart. Amen? Many Christians, you got to push them and prod them with a cow prod just to praise God. Y'all know what a cow prod is. One of those... One of the buzz things? No. When you really understand the will of God and what he has for you and you're walking in it, it causes you to do this. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see here Paul says it's a commandment here. It's God tells us, know what the will of the Lord is. And so it's incumbent upon us, and of course if the Bible says it, he wouldn't hold it back from us. It's not going to be a secret. It's going to be something that's available for us to walk in. Can you say amen right there? Amen. All right, let's try our smiling exercise. Y'all seem like y'all ate some chitlins before you got here. That was sitting out for the last 3 days. Try our smiling exercise. Let's see. Let me see your smiling. Show all 32 of your pearly whites or dingy yellows, whatever you got. Come on, some of y'all can't do it. Just try to smile. Let me tell you, I was a vice president in a bank. Believe it or not, everybody in here knows more about banking than me. Everybody, but I do know something about favor that many people don't know about. Amen. And that's one of these things is this right here. Learn to smile. People will attract you. You ain't got no friends? Start smiling. You can't get promoted at work? Start smiling. Everywhere I went, people would always say to me. In fact, we were in Honolulu. We're at the Four Seasons. You know what the Four Seasons, right? Beautiful, right there in Honolulu. And the manager of the restaurant came over to me and my wife. He said, you know what? I like y'all. You got a great smile. And I just, ping, a little sparkle flew right off of it right then. And he said, I want to bless you guys. Just because I think you get them, it's favor. But I've learned this, to smile and be kind to people. Try it. If you try it next to the person next to you, they like you more. Try it next to the person next to you. Just smile at them. Some of y'all can't smile. Your life is hard. I'm telling you, just to make it easier, right? When you learn what the will of the Lord is, it will cause joy to come into your life. Anybody want joy? Yes. All right, I'm going to work with y'all. Okay, I can say y'all don't come here all the time on Wednesday. I can see that. All right, turn over in your Bible. Okay, so turn over in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you don't know where that is, just look up on the screen. All right, so we find out that God says you need to know what the will of the Lord is for your life. You need to know what the will of the Lord is for your marriage. You need to know what the will of the Lord is for raising children. You need to know what the will of the Lord is for your career. You want to know what God wants for you, and you ought to want what God wants for you. You ought not want what God doesn't want. You don't want to have what God doesn't want you to have. Amen. Come on, somebody. That's right, talk about a hard life walking outside of the will of God. Walking with God will make your life very pleasant. Now, that doesn't mean problem-free. We live in a fallen earth. But it does mean a very blessed life that the Bible describes. All right? So we discovered that the New Testament concept for the will of God must be understood in terms of being versus doing, going, or having. Listen to what I'm saying right here. The New Testament concept for the will of God must be understood in terms of being versus doing, going, or having. Why I say that is because one of the most frequently questions I'm asked is about the will of God. Is this the will of God for me? What do you think the will of God is for me? And the will of God that most people are always asking me about has something to do with their doings. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I take this job or should I take that job? Should I marry this one? Should I not marry this one? Should I move here? Should I go there? There are always questions about doing, going, or having. And what the Bible says is the will of God must be understood in terms of being. Right. Being. Your being what God's created you to be will birth the right doings, havings, and goings. Are y'all with me? Amen. And when many people are looking for what to do, if they find out who they are, and this is what the problem is, most believers don't know accurately who they are. That's right. Which is why they're sad, busted, and disgusted. But if you really knew who you were, that is what leads you to the doing, goings, and the havings. Are y'all listening to me? All right, look over in 2 Corinthians. Y'all got your Bible? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to read from verse 14 to 18, I believe. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Watch what Paul says. Y'all get what I'm saying right there? The will of God is first must be understood in terms of your being. Right. You're a human being, not a human doing. Right. All right? It's being who you're called to be and what you're born to be. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ compels us. If you really understood the love of Christ, it would compel you to do different things, all right? He says, because we judge thus, Paul says, that if one died for all, who died for all? Jesus. What's his name? Jesus. Then all died. Now watch, what Paul is saying here is because Jesus died for us, we who've received him have also died. We've died, but look at the next stage. Look at the next phrase. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves. So he said, since Christ died, those of us who have received him have also died. Died to what? Our old life. Our old life has died, but look what he says. We're dead, but now we're also alive. Look at this. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for who? Themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So he's saying here, if you're born again, your life is no longer yours to live the old way you used to live. You've got a new life because he's alive, right? And I'll explain all this, and the scriptures will explain it. So therefore, from now on, what he's talking about is your old life died when you received Christ. Literally. This is not just a principle or a concept. Literally, the old you died spiritually. And I'll explain all that. So watch what he says. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. The flesh is not just your body. Your flesh is your body and your unrenewed mind. All right, and I'll explain all that here shortly. Watch this. We regard no one according to the flesh, including ourselves. Now that we've died and we're alive again with Christ, we don't even regard ourselves any longer after the flesh or anyone else. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Now, Paul, this is Paul talking, of course, to the church at Corinth. And what Paul is saying is, John, the apostles, the disciples knew Christ according to the flesh. He said, but we don't know him like that any longer. None of us have known Christ after the flesh. None of us were walking on the earth and could walk up to Christ, Jesus, and say, how are you doing, Jesus? I'm Lee. None of us know him like that. And that's what he's saying. Because how do any of us know Christ? Through the Word and through the Spirit. That's exactly it. Come on, y'all. Y'all know what it is? Thank you, Adrian. We know God. We know Christ through his Word and through the Spirit. We've never seen him. How many of y'all have seen heaven? Nobody. How many of you believe you're going there? How many of you have seen Jesus in the flesh? Nobody. How many of you believe he's real? All right. Do y'all see that? So you don't know that based on you seeing him. You know that by the Word and by the Spirit. How many of you have seen light change in your life since you've received Jesus? Amen. Just a few. I lost a few of y'all right there. Praise the Lord. I'm going to work with you, though. I'm here. I'm going to do my job tonight. Therefore, watch this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, listen to what he's saying. We know no one any longer after the flesh, right? We no longer know Christ after the flesh. And we know, because our old self is dead, the only way we know ourselves now is the same way we know Christ. After the Spirit and by the Word. Here, I want to make sure that everybody's following with me. We no longer know Christ according to the flesh. We know him by the Spirit and the Word. But now, since he died and rose again, we only know him by the Spirit and the Word. And guess what? You died and rose with him. The only way you know who you are is how? Thank you. I'm going to come right over here and preach right here. How do you know who you are? By the Word. Everybody together, try it again. By the That's how you know yourself. That's how Jesus knew who he was. That's how John the Baptist knew he who was. Remember when they came to John the Baptist and said, who are you? He said, I'm one crying in the wilderness. Guess what he was quoting? Isaiah. He was quoting right out of the scriptures. He found who he was in the Word. How you're going to find out who you really are, and this is most believers' problem, why they're sick, why they're broke, busted. The reason why is because they don't know who they are. It's an identity crisis. Yeah. Identity crisis, all right? Therefore, if anyone, whenever you see in the Bible, anyone, whosoever, whatsoever, it's the opening of a spiritual law, universal spiritual law. Therefore, if anyone, black, white, old, young, fat, thin, skinny, pretty, beautiful, whatever. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You get what he's saying? He died, now you're a new creation. The only way you're going to know that, who you really are, is by the Spirit and by the Word. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. What old things? The old you. The old, who you used to be is gone. Come on, hear what I'm saying. Because many of us are trying to figure out what to do, you got to first know who you are. Who you are. The old you is dead, and there's a new you alive. Whoever's in Christ is a new creation. Say, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. What old things, Pastor Lee? The old you has passed away. Right. Literally. All right? You say, hold up. I look like the same like I did in the pictures back in high school. Your old spirit passed away. Right. Now, I'll get to the scriptures in that so you can see it in the Bible. Behold, how many things have become new? Pastor, like that song we used to sing in my old church? I looked down at my hands and they were brand new. I looked at my feet and they were too. Lie. If you had athlete's feet before you got born again, after you got born again, you still have athlete's feet. As Andrew Womack says, if he was dumb before you got saved, you're still going to be dumb after you get saved. All right, that was Andrew Womack. I didn't say that part. Watch this. Now, how many things are of God? Some things are of God. When you got born again, your whole perspective must change. All things have a new perspective, and it's God's perspective now. Now, this is vitally important because what's happening with most believers are they're still living their old dead life. They're still more acquainted with the Adam life that's dead now than the Christ life that's forever alive in them. And that's why they're still connected to the sickness that's there, still connected to the lack, still connected to the confusion, still connected to the sin, the addictions, all that's with your old nature that has died and has been removed. But let's look at the Bible, what it says. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. He has made us one with God through Jesus Christ. Y'all see that? And has given to us the ministry of what?
Reconciliation.
Making one with God. Oneness. Reconciliation is an accounting term. My undergraduate's in accounting. That's reconcile. Means to bring back to wholeness. All right? You've been made whole with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 17 says that we are one spirit with the Lord now. One spirit. The exact... Okay, let me get to that in the Bible so you can see it. Make sure you understand this. Are y'all with me so far? So what God's saying here is if you understand who you are as a being... Now, out of that births the doing, the having, and the going, all right? Look over in one of my favorite passages here, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Philippians 2 and verse 13, Paul talking here about Christ living on the inside of you. And look what he says. Not in your own strength, your doings, havings, goings, and even beings, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work where? At work where? By the way, this is an interactive church. When I say that, it's not because I can't read. It's because I want you to read it so you can join in. All right? Who is effectually at work where? Energizing and creating in you the power and desire, look at this, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He said the will of God is in you. Many are looking out here for the will of God and what to do. And God says, it's in you. He's put it in you. If you read it in King James, it says he's given you both the will and the ability to do what he's wanting you to do. The will of it is in you. The problem is most aren't connected to who they are now. They're still living their old life. Are y'all listening to me? Say amen if y'all heard what I just said. All right, turn over in your Bible, and I read several of these verses, but I just want to remind you of a few of them. In John chapter 15, actually John chapter 12 on forward to 17, is Jesus at the Last Supper, the day before he's going to be crucified, and he says some of the most amazing, most profound verses about what would happen after he's gone. Explains to them that whole dynamic of what's going to go on. Of course, they were like, don't go, Jesus, don't go. He says, I got to go, and he begins explaining here. In the King James Version, it sounds like this. I am the vine, you are the branches. My Father is the husbandman. Y'all heard those passages before? John 15, some of the most just passionate passages of Jesus. Look what it says in the Passion Bible, beginning at verse 4 through 8. So you must remain in life union with me. Now, watch. What I'm trying to convey to you here is that the will of God for you is known, and I wrote it here in my notes. The will of God is known for you. The will of God is found, followed, and filled in being united with Christ, and you walk in the light of it in relationship with him. Right. It's with an intimate relationship with him. And that's what this whole chapter is about. Most of 17 is about that same thing, this intimate relationship. What happens with most believers is they get saved from hell insurance. They got born again. They received Jesus, but then never walked in a close relationship with him. It's like getting married at the altar to your spouse, but then just, okay, peace, I'll see you. I'm married. We married now. But then never build a relationship. And so Jesus explains this. He's explaining that whole process of the union with him. Watch what he's saying. So you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as the branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. Right. Y'all know that people who are married can live a life that's not intimately joined together?
Right.
Come on, somebody. Anybody? Say amen. We won't think it's you, but you can say amen.
Amen.
where they can live in the same house but not be intimately joined together, not talk about everything, not be in love, not having a passionate, loving, intimate relationship. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, so you must remain in this life union with me, and I remain in this life union with you, for as the branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, will not bear peace, joy, abundance, happiness, good things in life, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. Next, verse 5. I am the sprouting vine and you are my branches. Do you see what he's saying? You got to be connected to me as you live in union with me as your source. Fruitfulness will stream from where? Are y'all listening to me? It'll come from the inside of you. You won't have to try and figure out. God will show you. He'll lead you and guide you. Amen. But what y'all see the contingency here? As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me and you are powerless, that is the state of most believers. They live powerless lives. They live dead lives. Come on. But that's the state of most believers. Say amen right there. It's true whether you believe it or not. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. Next. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. Hold up, y'all acted like that wasn't nothing. Are you kidding me? Back that verse up for me again. But if you live in life union with me, now, I'm different from many people because when I read that Jesus says something like that, I go, I want that. I want that. I want to live in life union with you and your words to live powerfully within me. Then I can ask whatever I desire and it'll be done. That doesn't mean I start asking for frivolous stuff. That means because, like with me and Shanae, we want the same things out of life. Because we're so united and so connected, so intimately connected, we want the same things out of life. Bobby said it when he preached. You can't tell me something Shanae said. I already know if she said that or not. Well, I've seen her do this. No, you didn't. You're lying. I know her. And when you walk with God in an intimate relationship, and he explains it, he says, I don't call you servants. I call you friends. Because a master does not tell a servant everything he knows. You're my friends because I share intimate details with you. Amen. Intimate details about what? Your life, what you need to know. Jesus said, I got the hairs on your head numbered. Right. Y'all got more than me, but if he knows the hairs on your head, how many of y'all love your kids? Okay, like your kids. Good God, son. They all right. I bet you've never counted the hairs on their head. Played in their hair maybe when they're babies and that kind of stuff. But God knows every intimate detail about you. Why does he even share that with us? Because of that. He knows every intimate detail about you. And there's things that you need to know. You don't have a money problem. You got a wisdom problem. It's a connection with him problem. Are y'all listening to me? Here's the answer. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words powerfully live within you, then you can ask whatever you will, and it'll be done. Next. When your lives bear abundant fruit, not if. When you have this intimate relationship with God, a one-on-one walking closely relationship, and he calls it a marriage. It's a marriage, an intimate marriage. When your lives bear abundant fruit, not if your lives bear abundant fruit, when they do. It's inevitable. It's inevitable for a young couple, if they're married and in love, to produce fruit. They have to try not to produce fruit if they don't want children. Come on, somebody. Are y'all getting what I'm saying here?
Amen.
Do like this if y'all hear me. Yeah. Is this mic on in the back there? In my booth? Yeah? Okay. So they do hear me in the back, right? Okay. All right. Y'all got that? Watch this. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you're my mature disciples who do what? Glorify my Father. Therein lies the purpose of your life, to glorify the Father. Say this, my purpose in life is to glorify God. What in the world does that mean? That means that God wants to live through you, manifesting his character, his dominion, his health, his wealth, his wisdom. He wants to show it off through you. God wants you to be his walking billboard of his goodness.
Right.
How many of y'all want that?
Yes.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, I believe y'all. All right, y'all see that? How does it happen? Through intimacy. It happens through an intimacy of God. I've shared with you before, Shanae and I, because of our relationship, this church was birthed out of it, our children were birthed out of it, our home, stuff is birthed out of that love union. And Christ is saying, if you have this union, this intimate relationship with me, you're going to bear abundant fruit.
Right.
When you bear abundant fruit, you will be demonstrating that you're mature, my mature disciples. Again, I've been talking about this disciples over and over because God has never, Jesus never said, go and make converts. He said, go and make disciples, baptizing him in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? He never said make converts, and that's been one of the big problems with the church. We have to make disciples. When you're a disciple, you are in love with God, you understand who he is, and you have an intimate relationship. Not just go to heaven. Now, watch. For most believers, they'll make it to heaven, but they'll live hell on earth. They won't enjoy life. It will just suck for them simply because they haven't bore this fruit that God is talking about with intimate relationship. How many of y'all want that intimate relationship? Good. That's what I'm going to show you how, what it's about, all right? So let's dig on. Let's get in a little bit deeper, all right? Turn over in your Bible to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, Amplified Bible. Ooh, hurry. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans chapter 8. Let me say this first before I read the passage. It says, the will of God for you, I wrote this down, the will of God for you is to be conformed to the image of Christ and manifest Christ's glory regardless of your circumstances. I explained to him in the first service that all of us have an eternal will and purpose of God, our primary purpose for being alive, and that is to manifest the glory of God, manifest the glory or the character of God. And all of us have a secondary, temporary purpose. Temporary.
Right.
Temporary because it's while you're here in this flesh, in the earth.
Right.
Are you with me? And for many people, okay, I am, first of all, called to be alive to give glory to God with my life. Regardless of my job.
Right.
I should be giving glory to God as a pastor. I should be giving glory to God in Walmart. Are y'all with me? I should be giving, my life should be a representation of the kingdom of heaven while I'm in Hawaii,
yeah,
while I'm at the resort, while I'm at wherever, at my kids' stuff, whatever they do, wherever I am, my first call and your first call is to be a representative of God.
Right.
This is where most believers miss it.
Right.
Watch. Many of us are able to quickly identify because of our gifts. All of us, every human being, you are gifted naturally at something more than others. This is not hard for me to do because I'm gifted at it. Are you with me? For athletes, you can see a gifted athlete. A gifted athlete, come on. Professional athletes, as hard as you and I would work, we couldn't do it as good as they did if they didn't work at it. They're naturally gifted, amen? Have you ever seen an artist or somebody? They're naturally gifted at certain things. And each of us get giftings. That's your secondary call, though. Your secondary call puts you in a specific place to be that representative there.
Amen.
Get what I'm saying? And why my primary call is more important than my secondary, because if I don't represent God, I can be a shysting, lying, cheating, conniving, stealing pastor. God would rather me not be that. He'd rather me not be a pastor at all. This is why Paul said, I'm content whatever state I'm in. If I'm in prison, I'm still a representative of God. If I'm being beat, I'm still a representative of God. If I'm in the temple preaching, I'm a representative of God. Wherever I am, he said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. If I'm abounding, I'm content. If I have very little, I'm content. Why? Because I know why I'm here. I'm here to represent the kingdom of God. And it doesn't matter if I'm in chains and fetters. If I do that first, the chains will fall off. Are y'all with me? And your secondary call is maybe in business or maybe a doctor, but God doesn't want, or a lawyer or whatever it is, but God doesn't want you cheating people as a lawyer.
Right.
He'd rather you not be a lawyer and just represent God and work over at the Kmart. Walmart. Is Kmart still around? This used to be Kmart. That's why it ain't no more. Are y'all with me? Come on, somebody. Do y'all get what I'm saying right there? And this is where most believers miss it, because they don't understand their first call. So they're always looking, what am I supposed to do? And they're missing it because the going, the doings, and the havings are birthed out of that relationship with God. When God will show you and lead you, it will come from within with that relationship with him. My kids didn't ask to get here. We brought them here through our intimacy.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
You won't have to ask how to get there. God will take you there through that relationship.
Amen.
Y'all got me working hard and sweating on Wednesday night. All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Amplified Bible. For those whom he foreknew. Say, that's me. Of whom he was aware and loved beforehand. That means you were predestined, right? He also destined from the beginning, for ordaining them to be what? To be molded into the image of his son. That's your assignment right there. To be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn of many brethren. He's saying your call and assignment in life is to be conformed and molded into the image of Christ. I was like, dang, I was hoping you'd say it was to be a millionaire. Are y'all with me? And that's what most people think. But God does want you blessed, but he doesn't want you blessed outside of that. Come on, do y'all get it? For many people, they can discover their talent and their gifting. Come on. You know, you can recognize a very talented, gifted artist like Michael Jackson, dead at 50. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be alive at 58. Are you with me? To be talented like a Whitney Houston. Great gift. Is there any question that she's gifted? Found the gift, knew what she was called to do, but because she didn't get that part right, that first part right, dead very early. And you could just list a whole litany. You could list a whole bunch of great, talented athletes who are gifted. Why? Because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He does not revoke them. Everybody gets gifts. Unfortunately, your gift without understanding your call first can put you in the grave early. Or even in hell. Come on, it's quiet in this Presbyterian Catholic Church. Y'all ain't saying that, but I'm all right. I'm good. I came to work. All right. I did that one. All right. Let's move on. Move on. So do y'all see that? The will of God is for you to be conformed into the image of Christ and manifest Christ's glory regardless of your circumstances. Y'all get that? Wherever you are, in whatever state you're in, you represent Christ there, and God's will be done through you. Say amen right there. All right, so last week what we talked about was Christ in you, the hope of glory. Pastor Bob alluded to it and talked about it for a little while. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul talks about, not only in Colossians, he talks about it in every one of the epistles, New Testament epistles. He talks about there is this great mystery that's been hidden from the entire world, but now has been revealed to God's people. I mean, I love stuff like that. I love mystery movies. I love mysteries that get revealed. I love a movie where you don't know what happened until the end.
Right.
It's like, oh my God, that's awesome. Watch this. Which is the secret? Because he's talking about the secret thing that God has revealed to his people. Which is the secret he hid through all past ages from all human beings, but is now revealed to his people. Say, that's me. God's plan, here it is. God's plan to make known his secret to his people, this rich, glorious secret which he has for all peoples. And the secret is that Christ is in you, which means that you will share in the glory of God. What?
Yes.
Hold up, back up on that verse. Back up for 1 second. He's saying, now, because many people, they say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here's the big secret that God kept from the entire world, but he's telling to you that Christ lives in you. Dang, I thought he was going to say I hit the lottery. I wish he'd just give me six numbers. If he had six numbers, that would be cool. And so we don't care about this. because we don't understand what that means. We don't understand. The God who created the entire universe is on the inside of you. The old you is dead. Now he's alive on the inside of you, giving you life. That's a good spot right there. We need to have some signs up. You know, like when you're on the television set and they go. God's plan to make known to his secret to his people. Watch this. This rich and glorious secret which he has for all his peoples, and the secret is that Christ is in you, which means that you will share in the glory of God. The glory of God is all of his character. I've said it before. The glory of an orange is the juice. The glory of Luther Vandross is that's how you know him. The glory of God is who he is. The glory of an eagle is that 6-foot wingspan that soars above the mountains and soars with 30,000 feet with planes, jets. Only an eagle can do that. He's saying you get to share in God's glory because now Christ is in you. Yes. I'm going to preach right back there to Andrea and Andrea over here. All right? Watch what Paul says. So we preach Christ to everyone with all possible wisdom, and we warn and teach them in order to bring each one into God's presence as a mature individual in union with Christ. He's saying, this is why I preach, because to tell you who's on the inside of you and what's available to you. It's a great mystery. Do y'all get that? He's saying, this God who in the Old Testament was able to put himself in the Ark of the Covenant, a box made of wood overlaid with gold, and you couldn't just roll up on him, you could die going to church. Come on, y'all remember that? You could die. You couldn't just, there was a proper protocol to approach God. He said that same God now is alive on the inside of you. All right, so let me explain. I'm going to explain here how you tap into this and what all this means. Are y'all with me? Turn in your Bible. Turn in here. That was all preview. Review. Now let's get to where we're going. Turn over to Romans chapter 11, verse 33. I started on these passages, and I'm going to just break this down, and then you're going to get blown away before you leave here. Are y'all ready? All right. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Remember this? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. If we stop there, we'd be sad. He's saying, oh my God, how amazing is the mind of God. For who has known the mind of the Lord? And he goes on, he's talking about who can know his thoughts? Who can know what God has for him? Who can understand these things? Jump down to verse 36. Amplified Bible for me. For from him, so he's asking this question, who can know the mind of the Lord? How can we know his will? Who can understand what he has for him? Who can understand that? Looks good. Here's the answer, verse 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. Everything is known through him. Watch this. For all things originate with him and come from him, and all things live through him, and all things center in and tend to consummate and to end in him. And where is him? Altogether, where is him? Yes, he's in you. Paul is saying here, he's saying everything you need is in him who is in you. God, I need to know, give me more power to overcome this sickness. There is no power, more power. You've got it all. But you'll never tap into it, just like all the power was in that little box that would kill people if they didn't know how to get it out. And we already learned, it's through an intimate one relationship with him. Are y'all listening? Say amen right there. It'll do you good. All right, y'all see it? Now, let's go to chapter 12, verse 1, same chapter, same context. It says, because of this, because everything you want to know is already on the inside of you in Christ, I beseech you therefore, brethren and sistren, by the mercies of God, that you do two things. Number one, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Number two, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Why do I do that? Why do I present my body as a living sacrifice, and why do I renew my mind? That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and what?
Perfect will of God.
The good, acceptable, and by the way, there aren't three different wills of God. That's the same thing. It's all the will of God is good, the will of God is acceptable, and the will of God is perfect.
Right.
In order so that you can prove that, live that out, he says, you must, first of all, know that Christ is in you. Right. It's on the inside of you, number one. Number two, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Number two, don't be conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed. How? That's what you're doing right now. Say, that's what I'm doing right now, preacher. Yes, you are. All right, y'all with me? Okay, so let's go in a little bit deeper. Y'all ready? Now, here's where I'm getting to the point where I want y'all to really lock into me. Watch this. I'm going to explain to you what happened when you got born again and how this all fits together and how it all works out so you can walk in the will of God. Are y'all ready? Turn over in your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. This is where I've been waiting to get to, right here. Adrian, this is for you right here, girl. Watch this. She loves Revelation. She's going to love this. Are y'all ready? Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Anybody need help finding that? If you see somebody looking over in Galatians, just nicely go to the beginning of the book for them. Genesis chapter 1, the book of beginnings, right? God's creating everything. Here's the formation, the creation of mankind. Look what God says. And God said, let us make man. Who is God talking to?
Himself,
yes. All right. Ooh, God, there's so many things I could tell you here. How's my time? Y'all know this. Well, some of y'all know this. Whoever God talked to in creation, in Genesis 1, whoever he talked to create the thing he was creating is the thing he created needs to stay connected to. When God was creating the plants, what did he say? Let the earth bring forth the plants. Why? Because the plants must stay connected to the earth to be and all he created them to be. When God was creating the animals, read it, it's all in this chapter. Let the earth bring forth the animals. And he started naming stuff, right? Why? Because animals and trees disconnect. If you try to raise a cow in here, he's going to die. Pull any of those trees and detach them from the thing that God spoke to, and it dies immediately. Dies immediately. Death may not show up for a while. Come on, you can pull a tree out of the ground and set it there in your yard for a while. Just wait. Because it has started to die. The moment you took it from, detached it from its source. Who did God, uprooted it from its source? Who did God speak to create you and me?
Himself.
Who?
Himself.
Why? Because you must stay attached to him to be what he created you to be. God said, let us make man. How? In our image. Our image. And again, God talking to who? Himself. God is a triune being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One God, three manifestations of the same one God. Not three gods, one God, three personality, three persons in that one God. Explain that, Pastor. I can't, or it would be the quadrunity. And I'd be the fourth. I don't understand all that. But it's three, it's the same way. Now watch, he said, let us make man in our image and after our. So guess what? You and I are a triune being. Come on, somebody. I kind of walked you right through that. Y'all could have said triune being right there. You're three parts, just like God, right? All right? God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are spirit, soul, and body. You are spirit. You possess a soul, which is your mind, will, intellect, emotions, and imagination, your personality, all that. And you live in an earth suit called a body. Everybody gets that, right? Watch this. He says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. How? In the image of God created he him. How many genders are there of man? Two. I did this in the first service just to show them how confused the world is. I don't have my phone on me, but my phone, I can say, hey, Siri, and it'll say, yes. And I said, how many genders are there in 2019? And guess what it said? 112. And I pulled it up and I showed him in the first service. 112 genders. Do you know that's why they want to try to make bathrooms neuter now? Like, don't, you know, because according to the world, there's 112 genders. This is why the world will get you. The devil is a liar. He will lie to you about who you are. And if you don't know who you are, you'll be confused your whole life. And if you can't figure out what gender you are, and of course the world's going to tell you there's 112 to confuse you when there's two. And there they are right there. Male and female created he them. 110 of them are lies. And they're all, if you pull it up, Google it. Somebody Google it and look at it. It's amazing. And it's, you know those pictures of a circle with a line and arrow kind of throw, that kind of thing that Prince had, all that kind of stuff? One of those is one of the symbols too. It's some kind of in between male and female, all of them different versions of it. It's the craziest thing. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get stuck there. But God created them male and female, all right? Jump over to chapter 2, all right? Here's where God's doing the actual creation of man. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground. What part of man, his three-part being, is that? Body. Come on, y'all know. You know that your body is made of the ground, made of the earth. That's why you live in the earth. The moment that body dies, you leave the earth. To be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. Want me to tell y'all a secret that I think is, this is theory. To be absent from the body means to be instantly present with the Lord, not thousands or light years away. What if heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What if heaven were right here, right now, only a different dimension? What if right now, angels, there's a whole dimension here, and to be absent from this body is to be, bam, present with the Lord. Like, whoa. I didn't see this. This was here. Yeah, you couldn't see it because you were in this earth suit. Maybe. All right. But watch this. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and did what? Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. What is that? Spirit. That's God's spirit that gave that dirt life. And man became a living three parts. Man's soul. Do y'all see that? Formed of the dirt. The breath of God caused him to be alive and spirit, right? And God commanded the man in verse 16, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, you shall surely what? Die. Death simply means separation from God. When, if you and I die, you and I are going to separate from this body. Death just means separation. So what happened? They ate of that fruit. But they lived on seemingly, Adam died when he was 930 years old. So he lived, but guess what? Did he die that day? Yes. He died that day. The day he ate the fruit, he died. How did he die then? Spiritually. He died spiritually. And what was that? It was separation from God. Now, remember how did he get his spirit? What happened? What happened with Adam when he ate that fruit, when he transgressed, ate of that fruit, he was born again spiritually into death. He was born into death. He had God's spirit. He was one in union with God. I can't explain how it happened or what happened exactly. I do know that day he ate of that fruit, now death set on the inside of him. He was born again. The spirit that was life was now geared towards death, and his body simply followed suit. His body ultimately died because of what had happened on the inside of him. All right, now watch. Just stick with me because you're going to really learn right here. Are y'all with me? So did y'all see that? He got born again into death in reverse, essentially. He was one with God, but then sinned, separated from God, now born into death. Do y'all see that? All right, jump on over in your Bible so we can solidify this. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Amplified Bible. They'll put it up there. All right, all my notes are available online, www.destinygso.org, all right? Watch this. Paul writes this in chapter 5, Romans. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, what's that one man's name? And death as a result of sin, so death spread to all men no one able to stop it or to escape its power because of all sin. All right. Do y'all know right now? Well, back in the day, we used to make cassette tapes of all my messages, cassette tapes and DVDs of all the messages. And if a tape was made, the master tape was made, and it had a loud buzz on it, guess what? Every tape after that would have that loud buzz on it. Why? Because this is the master, and every other one is going to be duplicated to this. Every human being now, after Adam and Eve sinned, was born into death because he was the original, and now everyone after him was patterned like him. And this is why the Bible calls him the first Adam. Why? Because he was the master copy for every other copy. Every human being then, just like it says, sin came into the world through one man and death as a result of that sin. So every other human person was born with death, moving towards death on the inside of them. Why? Because that's their three-part being. Their spirit is now born into death, moving towards death. Are y'all following me? All right? Okay, watch this. Now jump on over in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Again, we're reading in the Amplified Bible. Are y'all with me? Every human being born to death, born into separation from God. Every human being. Look at this. Ephesians 1 talks about all of who Christ is and how much he loves us and what he has and what he's done for us, where he's seated, and so on and so forth. All these beautiful things. And then chapter 2 starts out, the whole chapter 1 is all about Christ. Chapters 2 starts out in Ephesians like this, and you. I love this. I get emotional every time I read this because it's talking about how great Christ is. And then it says, and you he made alive when you were dead. Why were we dead? Because Adam put us in that position of death. Every one of us moving towards death and sin. Not because we wanted to, because our spirit drove us that way. Our spirit is moving towards sin and death when you're not born again, and your soul, all the devil has to do is manipulate in thoughts and tell you lies that move you in the wrong direction. Your body is simply the caboose that follows along in whatever your mind and your spirit are going.
Right.
Wherever your mind and your spirit are going, the Bible calls that your heart. As the man thinketh in his heart, / mind, spirit and soul, so is he. Wherever your spirit and soul are going, whatever direction they're moving in, that's where your body will follow. Which is why Paul said, no, you're a new creation now. That old dead spirit is gone. You must now renew your thinking to who you are now. And don't let your body do the things that it was going to do. And you're going to see the will of God lived out in your life. Stick with me. And you, he made alive. He made us alive. How? By taking out that old spirit and putting in his spirit. When you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins. Next. In which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world. We're under the sway and of the tendency of this present age. Following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience. The careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. Stop right there. He said every one of us, all of us who were born into sin, were led by demon spirits that were manipulating our thinking, and we followed in disobedience to God in that direction. We had no choice. Is anybody, oh, y'all got quiet in here on that, like y'all didn't like that. I don't care if you didn't like it. It's true nonetheless. Had anybody other than me tried to stop a certain sin or any sin before you got born again? He's like, that's it. I am not doing this. I'm through. You started seeing the foolishness of it. It's like, I'm through. Come on, let me see. The rest of y'all said it was like, no, I was just going with it, Pastor. I was good. I was just good with it. And I'm just like, I'm a stank. And I'm just going with this. And that's all right, because you was a sinner. Cows moo, dogs bark, sinners sin. Amen? But had y'all ever tried to quit something? And then, like, it lasted a day or two. And it's like, dang, dang, that was a good shot, but I'm gonna have to try that again, right? But he's saying you didn't have any control of that because your spirit was moving you that direction, and the devil could manipulate your mind and your thinking because of the spirit that was in you was gearing you towards death. Your body just simply followed and lived it out. Come on, somebody. Hit the next verse for me. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passion of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. He said we was moving in the wrong direction because our spirit was dead and the devil was able to manipulate our thoughts and our flesh. Say amen right there. Amen. Do you see? And he said, so watch this. But God. God went straight to the problem. He said, the problem is that dead spirit in you. I'm going to get rid of that. Watch. But God, so rich is he in his mercy because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Say he loves me. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he did what? He made us alive together in fellowship, in union with Christ. Look at these words. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor, and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. He said, you didn't have any choice but to do the foolishness that you did. Right. But because of God's grace, he took out that dead spirit and put in his own. The very same spirit of Christ. That is not theory. And it is essential that you understand that. Because we've been taught we have to sin. Oh, we're just going to sin. Let's go on, and I'll show you in the Bible. No, you don't have to be a slave to it anymore. And in fact, you're not. But unless you know who you are and become who you're born again to be, you'll always live under the bondage of sin. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than y'all. Amen. Now watch what Jesus said about it. Turn to John chapter 8, verse 41 through 44. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I got 10 minutes. Hurry, 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 hurry. John chapter 8, verse 41. Jesus fussing at the scribes and Pharisees because he says the truth's going to make you free. They said, hold up, we're already free. What are you talking about? Free. We got freedom. We free. Look what he says. He said, you do the deeds of your father. Jesus said that. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father. God's our father, right? Next. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, Jesus said? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father who? And the desires of your father, you want to do them. Why? Because that's the spirit that's driving you on the inside. A dead spirit moving you towards sin and death. Come on, somebody. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Do y'all see it? Just like with genders, he tells people, watch, watch. Ooh, go to my next passage. I explain it here. Let me hurry up. I just got to read my notes. All sin then comes from the inside, from a sin nature. Are y'all listening to me? Look over at Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. Jesus said it. For out of the heart, remember what the heart is? Hebrews 4 and 12 says that it is the combination of the spirit and the soul. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Why do believers still live bound to sin? Because they haven't renewed their mind and they haven't presented their bodies a living sacrifice. How do you do that? First of all, you got to know that old me is dead. Right. Jump over in your Bible. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 3. Or just look up here on the screen. John chapter 3. Remember, Nicodemus came up to Jesus and said, all right, good master, I know you're a good teacher and all that. Jesus said, stop talking to me. Listen to this. He cut straight to the chase. Cut him off. Watch this. Jesus, because he just said, good teacher, we know that you're a teacher sent from God. He says, Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again. He didn't ask about that. Jesus just told him, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again, why? Because Adam caused you to be born into death. Every human being, you and I, were born into death, and unless we're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Next, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water, that's natural birth. Babies are in water, right? Her water broke. Unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Be born naturally and born again spiritually to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because that which is born of the flesh or of the water is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7 says, marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. Don't trip on that. That's very simple. You were born into death. You must be born again by a new spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Somebody say amen right there. I'm having a ball. Turn over in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All right, I'm getting there. Anybody learning yet? Come on, put your hands together if you're learning. All right, watch this. Watch this. Chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Oh, my God. Such an awesome chapter. A whole chapter is, do you not know? Do you not know this? Do you not know this? The problem with believers is what they don't know. And he explains all this. He says, don't you know that you're going to judge the angels? Don't you know that you're going to judge the world? Why then are you doing the things that the world is doing? That's what this whole chapter is about, right? And it's all about sexuality and sexual immorality. And he says, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Next, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That isn't the whole list. He just ran out of breath. It's like I did. Watch these next words. And such were some of you. Watch this. He didn't say, and such did some of you. Such were you. You were that. Look at the next words. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. See, keep it there for a second. Now, I want you to see this. Why people still stay caught up in those things that he listed there is because they don't know that they were that, but now they are righteous. Hold on. The spirit that was driving you and I to all those things that Paul said all of us were caught in, and please hear me here. Every human being has weaknesses in their flesh. I have an opposite sex attraction. Y'all get that? Okay. And that is a very dangerous thing if not kept under wraps. Some people have a same-sex attraction. But it's equally as bad as an opposite sex. Come on. If I was going around planting babies all in the church, and come on. Would that be a problem? It should be a problem. Y'all acting like. Like you're still knitting. Like, that's a problem. Are y'all with me? Some people have adolescent attraction. I don't get it. No, y'all sound all gross. Oh, but many of us have opposite sex attraction, and we don't say anything about that. But that was listed in there too. Are y'all with me? And yeah, maybe we don't understand those things, but everyone, there's some people who have an attraction to alcohol that will ruin their life. One sip could throw them over a cliff. Are y'all with me? Why? Because of a weakness in their flesh. It's no different than anybody else. All of us can do some stupid, crazy stuff if we don't do what God said in this. He said, you're a new creation now. You've got to know that the old you is dead. There's a new spirit now. And you've got to renew your thinking to who you really are and get that body under control. If you don't, you and I will end up living in sin, broke, busted, and disgusted, walking out the same life, but born again. Make it to heaven, probably get there much sooner. Come on, somebody, hit the person next to you and say, I know what he's talking about right there. I know what he's talking about. Jump over in your Bible to Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. I'm almost done. Can y'all stick with me? Give me 3 minutes here. Don't move, don't move, don't move. Your kids are having fun. They don't want to see you anyway. and all their chocolate that they get, bring it back to church and give it to me on Sunday with you. I'm just playing. I get it. All right, watch this. Colossians chapter 2. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Okay, graphic here. Do y'all know what circumcision is? You had little boys as babies, right? You know what happened. They circumcised your babies, right? Y'all know what it is. It's a cutting off of foreskin. It's a cutting off of flesh, right? In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of sins of the flesh. Amen. He said you were circumcised in Christ when he took out your dead spirit. Right. That force that was driving you to sin, he took it off. Come on, somebody. Y'all should get excited about that. Back up, back up, back up. By circumcision of Christ. Y'all see that? With his death, that died with him. Next. Thank you. Buried with him in baptism. That means submersed into Christ. You've been submersed into Christ and he's submersed in you, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Next. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. When he took that dead spirit out of you, he also took away all of your sins. Amen. And the nature of sin, the driving force to death and sin, has been removed from you if you're born again. Chapter 3, verse 1. Watch this. I'm going to read 1 through 10. And if then you were raised with Christ, say, yes, I was. Seek those things which are above now, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Do y'all get what he's saying right here? The old you is gone. The old you is dead. Set your mind on the new life you have. Put your mind on things above now. Don't just think. This is, and I shared with the first service, if you were an alcoholic, and this is what I don't like about AA, that doesn't mean quit it. It helps some people, and if they don't stay in it, most of them will die because they don't really know who they are or how to overcome this. But you are no longer an alcoholic. The Bible says that's what you were. But it's that new identity and connecting with that new identity, renewing your mind to that new identity, is what will overcome that for you. I don't like you saying, you know, that verse that we read didn't say, and you all used to do some of those things. It didn't say that. It said you were that, but now you're this. And even if you miss it, you're still not. If you have same-sex attraction, that doesn't make you a homosexual. I have opposite-sex attraction, and that doesn't make me a fornicator and adulterer. Are y'all with me? Y'all get quiet when I say that. Right. Do I have to say what you are? Come on, we're the righteousness of God, but our flesh will want to do crazy stuff. And that's why Paul said, you better renew your mind and get that body under control so you can walk out the will of God in your life. How many of y'all want to walk out the will of God? Yeah. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Next. Next, yes. For you died. Say, I died. Do y'all get that? This is not a principle or a theory. This is a truth. Yeah. The old you is dead. Most don't realize that. Yeah. They think that's theory. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, the old you is gone. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Where is he now? Your real life is hidden in there. Oh, God. When Christ is, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. That same glory, that's what the Bible is called, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The thing that you were created to be, you will be that when you see Christ. Of course, it'll happen instantly then. But there's a trend. Let me say it like this. Your spirit is completely born again and saved. Your mind, the Bible says, while the outer man dies or it perishes, the inner man is renewed day by day. You're saved in your spirit completely and totally. Your mind, your soul, is being renewed on a daily basis. That's up to you. For some people, their mind is never renewed because they don't hear things like this. But your soul is being saved, the Bible says. Your body, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, that we're saved by hope. What? Am I saved by grace and faith, or am I saved by hope? Your body is saved by the expectation of his return. When he returns, you will get a new body. and your body will be saved. So right now, you are saved, you are being saved, your soul, and you will be saved in your body. Are y'all with me? That's let your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord. That's when your whole spirit, soul, and body will be the brand new thing that God's created you to be. In the meantime, we are to renew our mind and present our body a living sacrifice, and we'll see the will of God lived out in our life as we do that. That's our responsibility. Y'all get that? Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Next. Because of these things, those things he just listed, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, that's unbelievers, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. Say no more, though. No more, though. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Here's another list. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Say, stop cussing. Some of y'all couldn't say it, but try it again. Stop cussing. Don't lie to one another. Say, stop lying. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds, last one, and have put on the new man who is renewed in what? Knowledge according to the image of him who he created. Turn over our last verses here. Y'all with me? Turn over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Everything I've just said to you, Paul says it all in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 comes after Romans chapter what? 5. Romans chapter 5 is about the two most important men that ever lived. Number one, Adam. Number two, Jesus. Why? Because Paul's explaining, everyone was born into Adam, born into death, but Christ came and brought everyone who's born after his pattern is born righteous now. A slave of righteousness. You were born a slave into sin, born again a slave into righteousness. Are you with me? That's what the whole chapter. So then he opens chapter 6 like this. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Look at this. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, the old sin nature is gone. How can we continue to live in it? I'll tell you how. If you don't renew your mind and if you don't present your body a living sacrifice. That's why you're still caught up in foolishness. Am I smiling? Am I smiling? I'm not sure. Okay, go ahead. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, immersed within him, we joined him in death? Remember we read all that in Colossians? We died with him, right? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now, say now, we also may live new lives. We get to live this new life. I'm telling you, I'm so blown away at how enthusiastic people are about these truths. When you begin, if you don't understand these things clearly, you won't understand this life that God has for you is so much better than a broke down, busted, jacked up life. But people get so used to going to church, and there's a whole nother life that's available for you, and it's in you now. Say, it's in me now. It's in me now. Since we have united with him in his death, we will also be raised with him in life as he was. Say, I'm raised in new life right now. That's if you're born again. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. Do y'all get that? The old you is dead, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. That's why God did it, to take that sinful nature out of you that was moving you towards death, poverty, sickness, disease, and death. We are no longer slaves to sin. Say, I'm no longer a slave to sin. For when we died with Christ, say, I died. Do y'all get that? The old Jew is dead. When we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Say, I'm free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know that we will live with him, also with him. Next. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Look at this next one. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for what? Guess what he's getting at? So you also. There's your purpose again. Your purpose is to be a glorified representative of God. How? Because he's in you now. No longer the dead you. He's alive in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Say, I'm alive in Christ. That's why I love that song that we did tonight, Resurrection Power. Do not let sin control the way you live. Hit the person next to you and say, don't let sin control you. Hey, it will just kill you. It will destroy your marriage. It'll destroy your life. It'll give you a number of kids out of wedlock and it'll keep you broke. It will tear your life up. It will confuse you about your sexuality. It will confuse you about what you're supposed to do with your life and cause you to die early. And God loves you too much to let that happen to you. Do not let sin control the way you live, and do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. That's that union that I'm telling you about. For you were dead, but now you have new life. You've got the same life of Christ on the inside of you. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right. Why? For the glory of God. Next. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Keep that one up there for a second. Here's where we must understand that definition I gave you of grace. That doesn't just mean unmerited favor. It means God's power and ability. You live under the freedom of God's power and ability because he's alive on you, on the inside of you now. Go to the next one. Where's your name? Good God, where in the world is your name? Y'all got me. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Hit the person next to you and say, please, of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Hear what he's saying right here. He's going to explain right here why believers still stay caught up in fornication, in adultery, in homosexuality, in lesbianism, in broke, in sick. Don't you realize that you become the slave to whatever you choose to obey? When you take your mind and start moving it towards things of sin and death, he says you become a slave to sin again, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Say, I got to make the right choice. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. You're listening to what I'm saying here today. I pray you are. All right, now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using this using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led to even deeper sin. Have you ever noticed that? That crack didn't lead to just I'm just a social crack user. I'm just a social sinner. Did you notice it led to more and more and more? Come on, somebody. It's like, dang, I became somebody I didn't even know. It's not. I know y'all can't be real, but I'm telling you, that's what it is. Ask your mom and them. Now you must, hold on. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. Next, we're almost there. When you were slaves of sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. You didn't care that about doing right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Last verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Stand up on your feet.